He's already here. So let's invite him deeper by praying together. Father, thank you for this day, a day that you have made. And Father, we stand in your presence already and rejoice in you. Father, I pray that as we invite you to go deeper into our lives this morning, that Father, you would find ears that are ready to hear, hearts that are ready to receive, and hands that are ready to work for your kingdom as we proclaim the good news of our Savior Jesus Christ to not only this sanctuary, not only to this city, state, or country, but Father, around the world, even as we have a team traveling to Honduras this morning. Father, thank you for your hand of blessing. May your spirit rest upon us as we worship you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stay, keep standing just for a moment. We want to greet each other as Tim and the choir lead us in just a few minutes as his praise.
What do you think? I'm so glad that you can be here with us today. It's just a special day. A church, a healthy church, has lots of victories along the way. And I told our staff this morning, I say to you, today is a day of victory. It's a day of victory because any time you obey the Word of God, you have lived the victorious life. And I'm so proud of our church and so proud of the decisions that we've made. And I can't wait to see what God is going to do in His house. It's not our house. It's not the preacher's house. It's not even your house. It's God's house. And all that we've done here, we've done for the greater glory of our great King. And so this is a special day. I have anticipated it. I didn't sleep real well last night. But I'm not the only one. There were others who didn't as well. And that's okay. I would have been stunned if I had have. I've been excited for a long time. And to see the fruit of a great deal of prayer by a great deal of people is just an absolute joy for a pastor. I've already this morning, I've had messages coming in from friends all over the country who are saying, we're praying for Ridgecrest today. And I appreciate that. And then I want to say thank you, congregation, because we're here because you said, let's follow the Word of God. And so I thank you. And then we have a guest in this place today. Maybe you're a visitor. You may have showed up here today and say, I had no idea what they were doing. We have just re-entered our refurbished worship center. And we're glad you could be here for that. And to all of our guests, when you came in this morning, you received a worship folder. And in that worship folder, there's a small tear-off panel. I invite you, if you're a guest of ours, to complete that. We'd love to know that you're our guest. And then when you leave this service today, if you'll take that and go out to my right and down the hall or out through these doors, there's a beautiful welcome center out there. And we have a welcome desk, and they have some special gift bags for you as our guests. I hope you'll go by and pick one up. It has fresh ground coffee in it. It has a hot and cold cup, a book, and some other things that we'd like for you to have as our guests. So please be sure that you stop by. We are glad that you're our guest today. We hope this won't be the last time that you visit and come to Ridgecrest. And then for the first time in over a month, we are live streaming again. We haven't been able to while we've been in the gym. And Matthew just showed me a report of our live stream that's going out literally all over the world. And we have people this morning all over the U.S. right now, scores of people that have tuned in and are watching our broadcast live. Out west, that means they got up real early, and then all up the eastern seaboard and up through the central portion of our nation, we have people watching us and tuned in to this broadcast. Would you welcome them, Ridgecrest, to our broadcast this morning? And then I want to tell you something. The seats that you're sitting in, every one of them have been individually prayed over. There was a team of leadership, our committee, their spouses, some of our deacon leadership, our staff, and some others that gathered in this place last night for a very special time of prayer. And every seat in this building was prayed over, one by one. And we've prayed that the Spirit of God would inhabit this place and that the glory of God would descend on this place. This is a celebration Sunday. I told you a couple of weeks ago that the Lord placed upon my heart for us to do three special services. Last week we did a Sunday, a great day of consecration to prepare ourselves. Today is just a day of celebration. And then on September 10th, we'll gather back in here for a great day of dedication, and we'll be inviting dignitaries from our area as well as former staff and pastors and a lot of folks that will be joining us. But we also have today invited some special guests, and I want to take a moment and I want to recognize them. And when you do something for God, it takes a lot of hands. And God has designed it that way. It's why the church, it's why we're better together than apart. And consequently, we've accomplished this. I thought about how quickly we accomplished this. In about 7 weeks from the time we took the pews out, and I don't know if you got a chance to see the time-lapse video that showed the entire project from the last Sunday we were in here up until the end of this past week, the whole process, in about 7 minutes, I think, we compressed it. And we'll post that on our website and our church Facebook page, and you need to go see it. If you don't, you can see the whole project take shape in about 7 minutes. But I thought about what Nehemiah said. When they built the wall, in just a few weeks back around Jerusalem. It was a massive undertaking. And when they were asked, how did you do this? How did you do it so quickly? Nehemiah was quick to say, well, it was the Lord. And he said, the Lord helped us, and the people had a mind to work. Well, that's Ridgecrest. So many people have been involved in this process. And like the scripture says in 2 Chronicles, this great passage, it's in your worship folder. Behold, I'm about to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, dedicating it to him, and the house which I am about to build will be great. For greater is our God than all the gods. And now send me skilled men to work with the skilled men whom I have in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father provided. Well, we had a lot of skilled people involved in this process, and I want to recognize them this morning, and I'm going to ask them if they would, when I call your company, if you're here representing your company, I want you to stand, and would you remain standing? You can sit back down, and then I'll have you all stand together in just a moment, but I'm going to recognize you. I want you to stand. And congregation, if you will hold your applause, because we've got a lot to recognize, please hold your applause to the end, and I'll have all of them stand together at that point, and then we will affirm them and the work they did. First of all, I want to recognize Lewis Construction. They were the general contractors that helped us do all the construction work, and Mike is here and his wife, and thank you guys. Comfort Systems, our air conditioning people, as well as can you tell it's a little brighter in here than usual? In fact, can you show them how bright we can make this place? Isn't that incredible? And that is, that's LED lights. There's no heat on us. And Tim and I say, thank you, Jesus. And the choir says, thank you, Jesus. There's no these production lights and all that. They're all LEDs. The Comfort System helped us with the lighting and the air conditioning. Brian Holloway Carpet, Carpet One. Brian, I think, is in the, Neil and Morris right around here. And we know these guys. They've been around a little while. Morris has been a member here for 105 years, and the church has only been in existence since 1953, but the beautiful carpet is, and the foyer areas and the hallways and bathroom. Paragon 360. Now they're walking around filming this thing. Paragon 360 was the company that we employed to give the whole design concept. They have designed for the great churches in our Southern Baptist Convention, and they're the pros. And they designed all of what you see. The whole scheme of things was designed by Paragon 360. Commercial Coatings, responsible for our paint. No one could be here from them, but the colors, the paint colors and those sorts of things. I mean, the painting, the colors were the committee, but the paint was done by them, interior and exterior. Builder's Door and Hardware and Dothan Glass. Buddy, I guess are you back there behind us, buddy? I'm sorry, I said Morris had been a member here for 103 years. Buddy's been a member here 105 years. And then Tyree Entertainment, Jared Tyree, who is in the booth up there. You can't see him, but man, this guy is a wizard with technical stuff. And he's been helping us with the production lighting, these lights you see, and he is in the sound and relating with our TV ministry, and this guy is an absolute pro, and he's one of ours, and I'm so glad that we had Jared at this time. I told my wife, I said, man, if we hadn't had Jared, we'd have had to contract someone we don't know to try to help us with the tech stuff, and he's done fantastic. You saw some beautiful wrought iron work out in the foyer when you came in, and that's the result of Wheeler Ironworks. Mr. Wheeler was going to be here. He did a beautiful job, as you can say. He was going to be here, but they had a death in the family, and he was not able to be with us today. Doug Lewis Construction. Doug is here. I saw Doug right over here. Doug Lewis Construction. The new columns out front that you see, Doug helped us with that. Then Jerry and Jackie Riley did a number of things from the concept board that you saw, as well as this pulpit was completely refinished and reworked, and it's beautiful. And so Jackie and Jerry helped us with several things there. Whitehurst Upholstery, Lance Whitehurst is in here. I saw him earlier right there. The prayer kneelers, these cushions, they covered and manufactured those, and they're fantastic, by the way. I don't know what he used in there. I think it's memory foam or something like that, because I kneeled on them and wanted to go to sleep. But Lance and them did that for us. Dennis Lee Furniture, the beautiful furniture in the foyer that you've seen in a couple of places around. Dennis Lee Furniture with that, and we appreciate that. And then Series Seating. The seating you are in is from a company called Series. They could not be here because of some previous commitments, but they have been incredible to work for. I told you after the committee made a presentation, and I used a phrase where I said, talked about planting shade trees that we'll never even sit under, that we always have to think like that. That so moved them when they heard the committee's presentation that he called us and said, you know, our company wants to be a part of planting shade trees that we may never sit under. And they backed out over $30,000 off their original cost. So they said, we just want that to be our contribution to this project. That's how impressed they said, we love your church and what's going on. And then he said, by the way, don't tell any other churches that we did that. And I think I just told the world, but they couldn't be here with us today. And then I want to thank the members of our Building and Grounds Committee. Would those people stand as well, our Building and Grounds Committee? Would you stand in this place, several around in different places? And I thank them so much because they've been involved in this, and there's, you know, one thing affects another thing that affects another thing, and so our Building and Grounds Committee was a great help to us. And then also, believe it or not, you may not think about these things, but we did along the way, and I'd like to thank our flower committee. Some of you ladies are here. I want you to notice something when you walk down Mission Hallway. First of all, I want you to notice the new banners, the new mission banners. Those are our mission partnerships. Those are the ones before were generic. Each one you see hanging in Mission Hallway now is specific to a mission partner that we have adopted as a church. But also you're going to see along the way, you're going to see those beautiful arrangements, those floral arrangements down that hallway. Our ladies came and they spent hours putting those together, cleaning the old ones, replacing them, bringing some color to those things. And so that's our flower committee, and I thank God for them as well. And then Kenny Matthews and our custodial crew have just gone above and beyond to keep our facility functioning, clean, operating. And they've had an incredible task because they also had the task of overseeing our worship center when it was moved over in the gym, plus all the ancillary work that goes with this project. And they have done such a fantastic job and haven't complained a bit at the extra work and the overload, and I appreciate them. John, Tony, Pam, Kenny, or I don't know if they're all in here or not. A couple of them sing. Are y'all up there singing, guys? Right there. Thank you. And then let me also say thank you to our staff. A healthy church is rarely any healthier than their staff. And I want to tell you, Ridgecrest, you have a great staff. Your pastor's a little questionable, but the rest of that team is pretty good. And they have been fantastic in all the endeavors, anything that needed to be done. They've been going way outside the lines of their scope of ministry to make sure that this day happened and that God was glorified. And I am so grateful for our staff team. And then I want to tell you this. Thank you to the many lay people in this congregation, men and women, who helped us from the very beginning, that day when we had to get the pews out. I tell you, Matthew and I were sweating that day, literally and figuratively. We were sweating because we thought we've got to have a big team of people to be able to vacate this auditorium. And by the way, I have a letter right here, received another letter from one of the churches Emmanuel's Fountain Christian Fellowship. And it's one of the churches that was blessed by the pews that we pulled out of this place. Several, five plus churches, I guess, were blessed by the pews. Those pews are still being used for the glory of God. But a letter this week came in from a church there saying, thank you so much, Ridgecrest. But we tore this place down, the lay people, and then every Sunday night we had to break down half of that gymnasium, and so many of you just stayed behind and helped us with that. Thank you, all of that. The reason we're here today is because people had a mind to work, and I thank you so much for that. And I'm going to ask, if I just mentioned you now, I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you stand in this place? And now, Ridgecrest, I want us to let them know how grateful we are. Would you stand? Well, you know, I've got a couple of more recognitions I want to make. But before I do, you know, you've noticed something up here about the light panels. And this is an amazing thing. And we're very conservative in this service. Now, if you want to see something funky, you come to the second service today. But we've tried to keep it pretty conservative. But I want you to see there's something amazing about all these lights that you see, these light panels up here. Because we can change them to whatever color we want. And so seasonally we can change them in the Christmas season for special productions and whatever. We can change these things. And I've asked the guys to just give you a little glimpse. Mike, you ready? Give them just a little glimpse of what this will do. That's just a little glimpse of what we can do. I have to tell you something, though. That was a conservative glimpse. I mean, they can make these things dance. But since we're Baptists, we don't do that. But no, I tell you, it's pretty cool what they can do. But I have a couple of other special recognitions before we continue this morning. I want to take care of those. One of those is a man that didn't know we were going to recognize him, but it's James Morrison. James, would you come this way? Somebody help James, if you will. Chuck or somebody. Let's get James up here. Now, come on over here, James. James Morrison is one of my heroes. I have to tell you that. For a lot of reasons. But one is he has been an encourager. I've been here 16 and a half years, and James Morrison has encouraged me from the day I got here. And I love him for that. I said that Buddy was here 105 years, and Morris 103, and James has been here 160 years.
Well, you'll like it too.
But you know, we have a rule around here. And the rule is, and by the way, James is the founding member. The church started in his home. He's seen it all. He's been here the whole journey. And he's loved every minute of it. At one time, my knees buckled. I had James on a committee when we did all the other stuff, and my knees buckled when they came back and told us how much, and I said, I don't think we can do that. I said, I think we're going to have to do it in phases. And James said, I won't ever forget, he said, Pastor, we've always done what God told us to do, and God has always made a way. And so we did, and here we are, and I'm so glad that he encouraged his pastor not to waver, but to stand and lead on. And we've had this rule, you know, at least for 16 and a half years, that in this church, In this church, nobody owns a pew, nobody owns a seat, right? And that rule is still in effect. These, you don't own the seat, but it is funny watching you try to sit where you sit. And most of you did. You got pretty close to where you normally sit. That's interesting. But we all know that, remember, there's nobody has their own seat in this place. And if you come in and somebody's sitting where you normally sit, it just means they're a guest and we're going to love on them. All right, because nobody owns a seat here. But after 16 and a half years, I'm about to change that rule for one person. And that's James Morrison. Now, James, I want to tell you something.
They messed up my seat over there.
Well, we're going to do it a little different for you. And this is what I want you to know. That James, you're the only human in this church. And when you decide where it is you're going to land, we've got something for you. We got a little brass plaque. And it says this, in appreciation to James Morrison, the first and founding member of Ridgecrest Baptist Church. And it has the word of God, Haggai 2:9, underneath that. And so, James, I want you to, we're going to give you a couple of weeks. You find out where it is. You're going to say, this is where I think I'm going to sit. And then we're going to take this brass plaque and we're going to stick it on that chair, and it's going to be the James Morrison seat is what it's going to be. And just to let you know how much we love you and we thank you. God bless you. Love you, baby. You want to say anything? You want to say anything? Isn't that great? The Bible says, tribute to whom tribute is due. We're all here because the Lord Jesus Christ planted us 53 years ago, and there was a man named James Morrison who said, let's start it in my home. And so I'm grateful for that. But there's another couple of presentations I need to make. And by the way, y'all just relax. My sermon is real brief today. Okay? But a couple of other presentations. Don't clap. That's my wife clapping. But we have a couple of other presentations that I want to make. And I just talked about a seat, you know, that we don't have seats. But I have two more seats here this morning. And they're also for a couple of special people. Matthew and Andrea Johnson, come and take this seat right up here. The Whataburger cup is yours, Matthew. Matthew loves Whataburger. And these two chairs represent something. And that is that this church is giving the two of you a week away at the beach on us at fall break. And I've got a little plaque for you here I'll give you in just a moment, and a check so you can actually pay for the food for you and your kids and all of that while you're there. And you can eat all of that you want. But I just want to say this. You know, I've done a lot of building projects in 38 years of ministry. And if you're going to do it well, you got to have the right man overseeing and being the point man. And Matthew Johnson has been as good a point man as I've ever seen in this role. We are here. Look, you know why the stock market hit 22,000 this week? It's because Matthew Johnson invested so much in Maalox that it shot the market way on up. And but I want to tell you something. He's been here day and night and just about from the beginning of the process. You know, I left in July. I left it with him. And I told him, I said, I won't be far. You call me if you need me. I said, I'll be back if you need me for anything. But he'd asked, normally each July, Matthew goes to a national administrators conference. And he asked me back in May, he said, what about that conference? What do you think? He said, do you think I should go? And I said, nope. I said, Matthew, you can't go. I said, I got to have you here. You've got to be our appointment. He said, I kind of figured that, but he said, I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. And Matthew has done a fabulous job. Somebody said to me one time, said, you know, Matthew's so quiet. And I said, and they said, you know what, he doesn't talk a lot. I said, I didn't bring him here to talk. I said, I do enough of that for all of us. But I brought him here to do what he's doing. And he's done a superb job in helping us with this project. And so, here's a little plaque, guys. It says, life needs more calm seas and salty breeze. And then here's a card with the necessary money you'll need for food. You want to say anything to these people, Matthew?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, go right here.
Well, I couldn't, this isn't me. This is a group of people that did this. I mean, this was so many people involved from day one. And those that didn't actually pick up a hammer were praying. And that was huge for us and for me. There were times where I got home and nearly just fell, passed out. Andrew will tell you. But with prayer and some orange juice, I was able to get back up the next day and keep going. And I appreciate that very much. And it's my honor to be able to serve the Lord and you in that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. And by the way, Andrea, thank you for allowing him to go above and beyond the expectations. Thank you. And to the kids, all of them, thank them for letting their dad be away as much as he was. And those chairs, they actually are y'all's. All right? Take them with you when you go. All right? There is one other group, and Matthew said it, you can't accomplish anything unless it's a team effort. And our staff talks about that frequently. We win together, we lose together, but we must be together. And when we began this process, I began praying, as you know, you don't need to hear that story again. I began praying about this, and God spoke, and then I began praying about each of the committee members for our Greater Glory Committee. And God began to put them together and bring them together for us, and every single one of them, God put upon my heart in prayer. And I want to introduce them to you, and then we have a special gift for each of them. And I want them to come this way as I call their name. Our chairman of the Greater Glory Committee was Bob Thompson. Bob's back there. Can you get down here, Bob? Bob Thompson was our chairman, and I'm going to let him get here. He's old and slow, according to the choir. Not me, but according to the choir. Come on, this way. Right there. Yeah, that'll be good. Come on around here. Bobby, you want to say anything to the congregation?
Just wow.
Wow. Just wow.
Yes.
But I believe that Bob Thompson was the man to lead this committee. And he's been here for many years, and he loves this church, has served us in so many ways, and God put him on my heart. And for each of you on the committee, we have a special, instead of getting you a plaque, we got you a special, had a customized picture made, Bob, with pictures of the project that spell out the word glory, and a plaque on the back that says, in appreciation to and the specific person. And by the way, each of the pictures in these letters reflect something that is significant in your life or ministry here in our church. So they're all different. But for each of the committee members, Bob, thank you so much for leading this, if you will. Just stay here for just a second. And then Mark Anderson, come this way, if you will. Mark Anderson, also a part of this committee, another one that we prayed about, and a plaque marked likewise for you. Judy Calhoun, come this way. In fact, why don't you three ladies come, Tiffany and Allison and Judy. These were the ladies who kept us aesthetically on track, this committee did. And they did so because you can't imagine guys being able to match colors and all that kind of stuff. And so these ladies did an incredible job of that very thing, and we're so grateful for them. Then Doug Falk Jr. Doug Falk, where are you? Come this way, if you will, Doug Falk Jr. And Doug, thank you, another member of that committee. And Doug and Marcia are very, very happy people. They are happy because of this project. And most of these are happy because it's over. But they're happy because of this project, and also because we not only completed this project, but at about the same time, we called their son to be our new student pastor. And they're not so concerned about that, except that he brought the grandkids back to Dothan. And so, but Doug, thank you so much. Rick Hall, come this way. Rick Hall, another one of our, is a builder, and he helped us so much in the committee understand building processes and construction processes, and I'm so grateful for Rick Hall and his help there to us as well. Thank you, buddy. And then Chris Jones. Chris, come this way, if you will. Chris Jones, you know, you've heard him. If you've talked to him, he's going to tell you something. He's going to say, if you say, what's going on, Chris? He's going to say, nothing but the love. Nothing but the love. Love you, buddy. And Chris was such an encourager on our committee. He was the guy that was always saying, what do we need to do? We just do it. He's a former Army Ranger, and, you know, I've said on many occasions, can you imagine this guy in combat standing over you after he's taken you down and then said, nothing but the love. But, and the Lord's given, he and Sophia, she's out of town, couldn't get back, but has given them a wonderful ministry through some difficult days, but we love you, brother. Thank you. And then there's one other person that I want to recognize, and they couldn't be here today, a part of our committee, but their representative is Grace Foster. Come this way, if you will. And I'm going to stay here for just a second. Come this way, Grace, if you will. We have one for you also. And many of you know that Grace is standing here on behalf of Chuck Foster. Chuck Foster was one of our committee, and what a great committee member he was. I will never forget, I didn't meet with them much, but I guess it was about the second or third meeting that I sat in with them. Chuck asked this question. He said, Pastor, he said, do you have a mission? I said, I do. He said, do we need to execute? I said, you do. He said, I'm an old military man. That's all I need to know. And he did until God called him home a while back. But he was a blessing, and you heard his testimony about these things, I guess over a year ago, as he stood here and shared a bit of the vision with us. And Grace, we want you to have this in his honor. Thank you. And now, that is your committee. We're here today because of the work they did. I can tell you this. I just handed the task off that God had given me and the word God had given me, and I said, y'all come back and tell us what God wants us to do, and here we are. Wouldn't you like to thank them all one more time? You guys. All right. Brother Tim, you want them back up or you want to stand back up? All right. Now, hey, it is a great day of celebration. Lift your voices to the heavens in praise and adoration for our great God. Brother Tim, lead us.
Amen. We're going to first start off with a responsive reading, and as you're standing together, if you will respond, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. bless his holy name. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth forever.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Father, we ask that your continued blessings and favor upon your church called Ridgecrest.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
Bless those who minister your love throughout the world from within its walls.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
Bless those who lead us to praise you through music and song. Bless your servant who stands in your pulpit and proclaims your word.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
Bless those who worship you in spirit and in truth.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
Bless those who encounter the gospel of Jesus Christ, that their lives will be changed forever.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
All your works shall praise thee, O Lord, and your saints shall bless thee.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
And your people shall speak of the glory and the power and the majesty of thy kingdom.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
Please remain standing as we begin our time of praise together.
Let the joy of
Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. We are thankful that your name is above all names. We are thankful that you sent your only Son to die and rise up for us. We are thankful that you called your servants to build your church here nearly 65 years ago. We're thankful that you saved so many here. We are thankful that you used the people of Ridgecrest to do your work, spread the gospel, and be a light in our community. And Father, we are thankful for all you have planned to continue to do here at Ridgecrest. Receive our tithes and offerings as gratitude and obedience unto you. It is in your Jesus' precious holy name that we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
I stood before him face to face. I was gloriously made new. There was a great and awesome presence and a light as bright as day. And as I bowed to kneel with the angels, I heard the Spirit say, All right. Uplifted high, and the Spirit laid his hands on me, and I uplifted mine. We were singing hallelujah, praises to his name, and as I bowed to kneel with the angels, I heard the Spirit say,
I think we're
What a great day. Great day to preach, and I'm going to be brief. But I want to tell you something. All praise goes to God. And all that we've done, and all that we are, and all that we will do, all praise to Jesus Christ. And I'm glad you could gather to let your praise rise to Him. And I want to tell you something, choir and orchestra, you sound marvelous. I mean, the sound is so much stronger, and don't you think? Couldn't you tell? The sound is so much stronger. And so thank you so much. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and open up to the book of Psalms, Psalm 84. I'm going to read the entire psalm to you this morning, and that is the basis of a few thoughts that I want to share with you in our time as we finish up today. In verse 1 of Psalm 84, and if you're physically able to do so, I invite you to stand up. A little aerobics here today, but I invite you to stand and follow along with me or on the screens. As the scripture says this, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Father, thank you. Father, that we can gather in your house, sing your praises, experience your blessing, your presence, and your transformation of our lives. Would you take now your word, speak to our hearts, and make us new, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Recently, I read about the 137-mile-long Atchafalaya River. It runs from the Mississippi through south-central Louisiana, and it empties into the Gulf of Mexico. It's a distributary, and it is a significant source of income to all of those along its route because it provides opportunities for many industries and many commercial endeavors and businesses. It's scenic as well. But as scenic and as productive as the Atchafalaya River is, it is a distributary, not a tributary. You know what a tributary is. A tributary runs into a source and helps feed the source, but a distributary comes out of a source. And the Atchafalaya River is actually a distributary because it comes from the Mississippi. It has no source of its own. And so when the Mississippi is high, the Atchafalaya is high. And when the Mississippi is low, the Atchafalaya is low. And whatever the Mississippi does, the Atchafalaya does. In other words, it can't accomplish anything on itself by itself. It is wholly dependent on its source. When I read about that this week, I thought, you know, that's kind of a picture of the church, isn't it? Everything that the church accomplishes of value to the kingdom of God is always tied to its source. Always tied to its source. And if the church somehow loses connection with its source, its first love, with the living word, then it loses its power, it loses its influence, it loses its meaning for existence. Every healthy church is healthy because it understands its source, where it gets its life. Every healthy church is healthy because it makes right choices at the right time in obedience to the Word of God. And that's why today, in this place, we celebrate. We celebrate our health as a people of God. And we overflow in our praise and worship to our source. You know, they tell us today that people are leaving the church. People aren't coming to the church anymore. By the way, there's John Thomas and Cindy Thomas. They are our DOM, our Director of Mission. And Mike, their son, are here with us today to celebrate this occasion. Glad to have you. But they tell us, don't they, John, that our churches are declining. And it's created somewhat of a crisis around the country because there are a lot of reasons people say they don't go to church anymore or don't need church anymore. I came across something recently. What if we applied the same logic to not going to church that we do to other things? What if we did that? For example, what if we applied the logic and the excuses for not going to church to something like, say, washing or taking a bath? They might sound something like this. Well, I'm not going to wash because I was forced to wash as a child. Or, I'm not going to wash because people who make soap are only after your money. Or, I've decided not to wash except on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. Or, people who wash are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than everybody else. Or, there are many different kinds of soap out there. I can't decide which one is best. Or, I don't wash because I used to wash, but it got boring. So I stopped. I don't wash because none of my friends wash. I don't wash anymore because the bathroom is never warm enough in the winter or cool enough in the summer. I don't wash right now, but I'll start washing again when I get older and dirtier. And 10, I don't wash anymore because I just can't spare the time. You know, what if we applied the logic of gathering in the house of God to these other things? You get the irony, I assume. But the passage we just read today is actually a list of 9 reasons that you ought to be in the house of God. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, so just hang with me. And you might want to turn over. There's no outline for you, but you might want to turn over the back side of your note sheet there if you can jot these down. If not, you can get them later on. But they come to us out of this psalm, Psalm 84. And if you notice in your Bible, there's probably a little heading above the first verse. It tells you that Psalm 84 was a psalm or a song of the brothers Korah. Korah, who are these guys? Well, they were from the Levitical tribe. They were descendants of the Levites, but they weren't priests in the temple. In fact, Tim, do you know they tell us that these guys were probably a choir or an ensemble? And they sing in the worship settings or worship occasions, the sons of Korah. And so they have this psalm that they offer to us. And it really is, in this case, a song. And this particular song that they offer to us is a psalm of praise. It praises the house of God. But it's also a psalm, what we call a psalm of pilgrimage. Y'all know what a psalm of pilgrimage is? A psalm of pilgrimage. And by the way, you guys over here, y'all don't start falling asleep. Now, I can walk all the way over there and all the way to the other side to make sure y'all are still awake, okay? But they tell us it's a psalm of pilgrimage. A psalm of pilgrimage means that it was something that followers of God would sing on their way to the house of God. And if you noticed, if you paid attention as we read that, did you notice how excited they were about that whole thing, about getting to the house of God? It's a psalm, a pilgrimage on the way. Can you imagine in your car this morning getting up and the whole family singing about how excited they were to go to church? They tell us that Sunday mornings are one of the worst times in family life is on Sunday mornings, unfortunately. But these people are on their way to the house of God, and they're singing. They're singing for joy. They're so excited. They're singing it in their pilgrimage as they journey to the house of God. It's a psalm of pilgrimage. It's also a psalm of privilege, because the sons of Korah speak of the incredible privilege it is to enter into the presence of God. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of pilgrimage. It is a psalm of privilege, sung to celebrate the house of God. And for just a few moments, as we celebrate our arrival and our entry into the house of God, I want to show you why we celebrate. First of all, we celebrate, verse 1 tells us, because the house of God is a place of beauty. It's a place of beauty. How lovely is your dwelling place? Now, that connotes a couple of things. When the psalmists were writing this, they were talking about the physical beauty of the house of God. I've had several of you say, pictures didn't do this justice, Pastor. And, you know, I don't know how pictures can ever completely capture the real thing, right? In any setting, the decor and the beauty of something, a setting. And these sons of Korah were talking about the physical beauty of the house of God. It was something else, the house of God, the temple of God. It was incredible. But it also is referring to the beauty of being anywhere where the presence of God is. The presence of God makes any place beautiful. And you see, the temple, the house of God, was the symbolic resting place of the presence of God. So they knew if they traveled, if they were pilgriming to the house of God, when they got there, it was going to be a beautiful thing because of the ornateness. And you can go back and read about the kind of ornateness of the temple. But more so than that, even because the presence of God there. The house of God is a place of beauty. But secondly, they also tell us that the house of God is a place of worship. Verse 2, they said, "My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." The temple represented the place where you could experience God. You know, worship is the logical and it is the compelling response to the presence of God, isn't it? You know, we just sing that song. I love that song, "All Rise." How could you ever sit and sing that song? Just doesn't work, does it? Because there's something compelling about the presence of God. When you sense the presence of God, that compels you to do something physical. Stand, lift your hands, kneel, lay yourself prostrate before Him. There's just something about being in the presence of God that does more than just say, ho-hum, ho-hum, ho-hum. We are compelled to worship Him. It is logical. But the house of God is third, it's a place of blessing as well. In verse 4 and verse 12, the scripture says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, and blessed are those who trust in you." This whole psalm, by the way, is set in the context of the house of God and getting to the house of God. And here the sons of Korah tell us, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house." Look, why should you go to church? Why should you go to church? Frankly, if for no other reason than to enter His presence in order to experience His blessing. You know, we worship God because of who He is, but frankly, let me just remind you of something. You ought to come to the house of God if for no other reason than for yourself, just so you can be blessed. And when you're in the presence of God, with the people of God, and by the way, David said, I love to go with the throng, with the multitude to the house of God. Did you know that? In another passage, David said, how I long to go with the multitude into the house of God. When we get together like this and the presence of God is in this place, guess what? There's blessing. The house of God is fourth, a place of strength as well. verse 5 and verse 7 tells us that we go from strength to strength. You know, some weeks feels like that, doesn't it? Man, I get to full on Sunday, ma'am. The rest of the week, it just takes it all out of me. I got to go back. We go from strength to strength to strength to strength. We find it in the house of God. Life is tough, and you don't have the stamina. You don't have the energy to make it without God's help. The house of God is a place where we find His strength, not our strength. We come into this place recognizing we don't have strength, but He does. This is a place for the weary. This is a place to find strength if you're burdened down. This is a place where you can find the strength of God if you're empty right now in your life. It is a place where you can find strength if you're lonely. It is a place where you can find strength if you're despairing. The strength of God is here to help you face tomorrow, and it is here if you're weak. The strength of God is here. We go from strength to strength in the house of God. We come in contact with the power of God for living. It's why we celebrate. It's why we celebrate what God does among us and with us. Fifth, the house of God is a place of provision. In verse 6, you notice he says this, as they go through the valley of Baca. Do you know what Baca is? That means the valley of tears. You go through that difficult place, that difficult time. And then he says this, that he will find a place of springs. He will find the early rains cover the barrenness with a pool of refreshment. He's talking about when you get into the house of God and you've been walking through that valley and that valley of tears, and some of you are walking through that valley right now, and that makes the house of God so important to you. And when you come to this place, here you will find pools of provision and refreshment. God provides in His house, in the midst of the valleys, in the midst of the streams that you face in the desert. In the journey to the house of God, we find Him all along the highway as we seek to enter into His house. Remember, I said this was a psalm of pilgrimage. And this whole idea is, as I'm traveling along in the course of life, I'm traveling, I'm headed, and I'm stopping along the way. I'm refueling, I'm strengthening myself. I'm finding provision in the comfort of God, the pools and the streams and the springs, even though I'm in seasons of tears. The house of God is six, a place of prayer. Look at verse 8 where he says this. He says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Hear my prayer. Give ear to my prayer. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of preaching. Is that right? That's not what he said. Jesus said, my house will be called what, class? A house of prayer. And right here you see the sons of Korah saying and telling us that in the context of the house of God, it is a place of prayer. In his house, in this house, we talk with him. We hear his voice. We seek his face. The house of God is designed to help us connect with Him in our hearts, in our souls, and in our minds. That's why we celebrate this place. That's why we come and gather in this place. It's a place to connect with Him in prayer. Seven, the house of God is a place of relief. Verse 10, I love this verse. I've loved it for years, since I was a teenager. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. One day, they said, one day in the courts of God, in the house of God, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. It's true. I remember as a teenage boy, I would go with another friend to two different places. We would go to the little church. It was a little rural church that we attended. And it wouldn't even be open. I can remember going. His name was Randy. Randy and I would go, and we'd just sit on the steps of the church waiting for the next something at the church. I love the house of God. I just love being around the house of God. If I can't be in it, I want to sit on the doorsteps. Because there, you're going to find him. I had another place I'd go. A lot of Friday evenings after our team had finished and played and we'd changed and showered and all of that kind of thing and we couldn't get dates. I had two buddies and there was a little chapel not far from our high school and we would go there on Friday nights and we'd prostrate ourselves at the front of that altar. Teenage boys laid out talking to God. Lord, speak. Speak. Sweet times. One day in the courts of God is better than a thousand elsewhere. Doesn't matter where else it is. One day in the house of God is better. And that's what they say is the house of God provides peace. It provides rest. It refreshes our soul. Nothing is better for our souls. But number eight, and I'm almost done. The house of God is a place of service. Verse 10, did you notice what he says in verse 10? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Now, that is not a cheap shot at ushers. Well, yeah, I'll go be an usher. No, that's not at all. What he's saying is, I would elevate any service in the house of God above any other kind of service the world could offer me. Anything. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. It's a place of service. Serving God in any capacity is better than any kind of service you can render to the ideas of the world. Never, ever underestimate the value of service offered to God in His house. We're in here this morning, and while we're in here, there are people keeping babies. While we're in here, there are people on their knees. Did you know that praying for us right now? Right now. And many of them, I'm sure, would have loved to say, on the new day, on the first day, I'd love to be in there. But their service was to say, I need to rock babies or keep babies and love on children. I need to be on my knees. That's my week. I'm going to pray. One man right there, Rick Hall, he works at our coffee bar out there. And when we were talking about preparing the service, Brother Rick said, well, now I can't be in there on Sunday morning because it's my day to serve out in the Welcome Center. I said, no, Rick, we're going to make an exception for you. He said, well, I just don't think it's fair to tell somebody else I'm going to be in the service. Somebody else can take care. I said, no, Rick, you're on the committee. You get a pass on this week, all right? But I appreciated this. You know what I appreciated? That he understood the importance of his commitment to serve. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, wouldn't you? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Last, the house of God's a place of favor. Verse 11, did you see it? I did a series, remember, on the favor of God? For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows what? Favor and honor. Where? He's talking about the context of the house of God. All of this is in context of our relationship to God as experienced in His house. Experiencing the presence of God, you see, it adjusts our walk. And it brings us into His favor and His honor. All of these things and more are the reason that we celebrate. All of these things and more are the reason we rejoice in this place today. Because we're in the house of God. As the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. One Christian writer said some years ago, he's a preacher and author, and he said, worship helps us find who we are and why God has placed us here on the earth. When we bow in God's presence, we worship. And only then, in worship, are we made complete. Today, we sing the song of celebration in the house of God. It was built for His glory. It was refurbished for His glory. And it was built for our good. God is in this place. And He wants to be in your life as well. It's His temple, but the Bible also says that you are His temple. And when you allow Him to save you and to fill you with His Holy Spirit, you become the living, breathing temple of God. We've worshiped, we've celebrated, but can I tell you what the greatest act of worship is? It is for you to present yourself as a living sacrifice to Him. You know, that's what Paul said, that he, and you know what he, how he described that? He says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. You know what he meant by that? He said, it's just logical. It just makes sense. It's reasonable that you, because of what He has done for you, that you would come and present yourself to Him and say, God, all of me, all for You. All of me, all for You. And so today, I invite you to come and present yourself to Him. It may be to come for salvation. He loves you. This cross means that He died for you. He shed His blood for you. And maybe you aren't certain that you've ever trusted Him. Would you come in just a moment? Just like always, nothing has changed. I'm going to stand right down there. Staff members are going to be right over here. And we're going to invite you. And we're going to wait for you. And we're going to sing and worship God. And I invite you to slip out from where you are to come. And give your life to Jesus Christ if you're not sure you're saved. You may be here this morning saying, no, I am. But on a day of celebration and worship like this, I want to be a part of a family like this. We are a healthy family. We're not perfect, but we are healthy. And we want to please and honor God. And if you're a Christian and you don't have a family, you need one. And I invite you to come and join Ridgecrest this morning. It may be that you need to just come and say, I need to obey God. Just need to obey Him. There's some things in my life, like I've never been baptized scripturally, or I haven't been baptized at all, and I want to obey Him because I want His refreshment in my soul. I want His Spirit to have complete control. And so I want to obey Him today. Are you ready to do that? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to lead us in prayer. And after that, I'll be right down here. Staff will be right over here. We're not going to embarrass you. You're not going to have to speak or say anything. Just come and make your decision. Balcony, you come on. You say, well, I'm kind of in the middle here. Well, it's all right. Just say, excuse me. And you just walk right out and you come on. If the Spirit of God is speaking, you want to become a member here. You want to become a member of the kingdom of God. You need to obey. You come. Father, speak now. Speak. Speak in this time of invitation, in these moments, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing right now, you come on. Meet me down here.
Lord, we stand in the midst of the multitude of those from every tribe and tongue. We are Your
praise, but
Guys, come stand with me just for a second, and this will he's really outgoing and not shy at all, as you can tell. But they come. Becky knows the Lord, been baptized, and Ella Grace and William, we'll talk with them more, but they're members of our Sunday school. You come by and then welcome them before you go to Connection Group in Sunday school. Hey, we're on time. It's not starting till 10 o'clock, so you still have plenty of time. Come welcome these. God bless you as you're dismissed.